But turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 49. We've been going through the book of Psalms on the Tuesdays, but there are two or three that I've missed, and I want to pick up one this morning and this evening another one, which is a very consequential psalm and a favorite psalm throughout the centuries. But now turn with me to Psalm 49. I'm going to read the 20 verses and then pick out the main themes in this psalm. Psalm 49. To the chief musician, a psalm of the sons of Korah. Hear this, all peoples. Give ear, all inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. My mouth shall speak wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall give understanding. I will incline my ear to a proverb. I will disclose my dark saying on the heart. Why should I fear in the days of evil, when the iniquity at my heels surrounds me? Those who trust in their wealth and boast in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their soul is costly, and it shall cease forever. And that he should continue to live eternally and not see the pit. For he sees wise men die, likewise the fool and the senseless person perish and leave their wealth to others. Their inner thought is that their houses will last forever, their dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands after their own names. Nevertheless, man, though in honor, does not remain. He is like the beasts that perish. This is the way of those who are foolish, and of their posterity who approve their sayings. Selah. Let me reread verse 13. This is the way of those who are foolish, and of their posterity who approve their sayings. Selah. Like sheep, they are laid in the grave. Death shall feed on them. The upright shall have dominion over them in the morning, and their beauty shall be consumed in the grave, far from their dwelling. Before we go any further, let me make a textual comment on verse 14, the second line, which says, death shall feed on them. That word feed is really the word shepherd. This is an interpretive translation. The word feed is exactly the same word as in, you can look it up if you have a Hebrew dictionary, as in Psalm 23, Jehovah is my shepherd. So the idea here is that those who are foolish enough not to trust in God will be shepherded into death or by death, and that's their lot. So verse 15, but God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me, Selah. And do not be afraid when one becomes rich, when the glory of his house is increased. For when he dies, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him. Though while he lives, he blesses himself, for men shall praise you when you do well yourself. And he shall go to the generation of his fathers, they shall never see light. A man who is in honor, yet does not understand, is like the beasts that perish. We cannot deal with the whole psalm and every detail of it. It was one of the reasons I made those comments. But just let's look at the main themes that the psalmist pens for us under the inspiration of God the Holy Spirit. Remember, this is not merely a psalm of Korah. Above and beyond that, it's given to us by the outbreathing of God the Holy Spirit through the instrumentality of the psalmist. And when we read through the whole psalm, but now I'm referring particularly to verses 1 through to 9, the psalmist is here speaking to all mankind without exception. Remember, there's much in the Bible that is primarily, although it might have subsidiary or secondary application to other people, here now he is speaking to all mankind. Because we are told here in verse 1, hear this, all people. In the Hebrew, there are two words for people. And there's one particular word that is used for God's people, that is Israel. Another particular word that is used for the rest of the world, the Gentiles. Am and Goyim, if you want to look it up. But this is for all the peoples. Give ear, all peoples. Give hear all the inhabitants of the world. And it is directed at every strata of society, both low and high, verse 2. There's more, but that's enough for now because of time's sake. But you'll notice that it is also given to the people of God. I should have mentioned that first. To the musician, or chief musician, a psalm of the sons of David. So it's given to the people of God to be the subject and the contemplation and the singing of the worship of God. Nevertheless, it is a broad application. And then, thirdly, it concerns universal and unavoidable issues that concern all of mankind, from the littlest child to the oldest that has ever lived, rich and poor, and every kind of people. And in verse 5, we are told and given some of these specifics. Why should I fear in the days of evil? So this psalm is for those who experience evil. Now evil here, again, there's two shades to it, and both apply to all kinds of people and every human being. One is the evil of calamity. It's not strictly moral evil, but calamity. Evil befalls us. A calamity falls upon every human being at one time or another. Of course, there are degrees of it, but there's not a human being who will escape the experience of calamity. So it's for all who have experienced or who will experience some kind of calamity. And then secondly, evil means moral evil, which is what the Bible has a lot more to speak about. It's for all those who have to face calamities. The ultimate calamity is death, and even worse than that is the time of judgment before a holy God. And in verse 5 we are told about iniquity. When iniquity is at my heels, really meaning in the original, supplanters or deceivers. People who deceive us, wear one face. There's a wonderful example, isn't there, that in the allegory of John Bunyan. He says, my father was, speaking about a godless man, my father was a rowman, you know, rowing a boat. He says, facing one way and going another. Very deceptive. Hypocritical. They surround me, he says. And this iniquity is perversity and depravity. And then verses 7 and 8, another universal issue. The question of who will pay a ransom for the soul. And lastly, in verse 9, actually, it's repeated in a number of places, death, grave, pit. See, now these are universal subjects. They're issues that every man, not only people in church, but every man, woman, and child has to face or will face. The issue of calamity and moral evil, and the issue of redemption and ransom and sin, and not only from outside but from within. Whoever we are, whether it is about the grossest sinner or a man who is used of God to write the scriptures, and he speaks about it in the personal pronoun. Why should I fear? This fear is something that is real to the man who has been chosen by God to write the scriptures. It's universal in its application. It's universal in its experience to man made in the image of God. These are vital matters of eternal significance. He speaks about eternal life and God and the life hereafter. So let's give heed to what the psalmist says, not because of his own wisdom, but because of what God has revealed to him. In verse 4, he says, I will incline my ear to a proverb. So he is not simply relying on his own understanding. He is relying on received wisdom. He will incline his ear. And he says, I will disclose my dark, my translation, King James is dark. It's really a riddle, a proverb, a parable. I will disclose. And so let's incline our ear to this man and God himself. And what the psalmist does after raising these universal issues, he contrasts the false and the foolish. He uses both those words. Hopes of mankind, and then contrast it with faith based in God, who alone is the solid foundation. So the false and foolish hope that many in the world embrace. In verses 6 to 9, we are told that many foolishly, they think that wealth will protect them from calamities and from destruction. For example, verses 6 to 9, let's just give heed to the text. Those who trust in their wealth and boast in the multitude of their riches. Now, right there, you can have two categories of people. Those who trust in their wealth and boast in the multitude of their riches are the rich people, and they put their trust in them. But let's not forget, even people who don't have money often put their trust in wealth. In fact, people, lotteries and gambling and everything else tells us that. Even the poor man thinks if he has money, it will solve many, if not most, of their problems. But the psalmist is here saying that no matter how rich we are, how successful we are, it will do no good when it comes to these universal issues which we have to face. And he specifies it in verse 7. None of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of souls is costly. So wealth cannot redeem us. We can be great philanthropists, give away our money like some of the greatest of rich people do. Many of them, or at least some of them, give away most of their wealth. But that cannot pay a ransom for our soul. Wealth cannot be trusted. In fact, the Lord Jesus in his parable says such a man is a fool. You fool, says God to him. And the New Testament is full of this teaching. Remember, the Lord Jesus said, what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world? And that's more comprehensive. It's not just riches. It's everything else. Everything we consider riches. Not everybody thinks money is the big thing. And some of them rely on health. And so on. And it is absolutely foolish, because it's not a currency with which we can deal with death or with judgment or with God. And certainly not our own sinfulness. James, in his epistle, writing to believers, warns the rich people in the church. He says, warn them, those who are rich. So this is a message for all of us to give ear to. And by the way, we are among the most rich people in the world. Most of us in these Western countries belong to the richest 15% of the people in the world. We think of those who are richer than us, but we are richer than most of the people in the world. And we must be very careful that we do not rely on this. In fact, it can be a great stumbling block in our Christian walk. Secondly, verses 10 to 11. He speaks about wisdom. And wisdom cannot protect us from death or be a shield when it comes to judgment or give us or lead us to eternal life. Verses 10 and 11. For he sees wise men die, likewise the fool, and a senseless person perish. Wisdom. Now, of course, there are many kinds of wisdom, isn't there? God has given us, he's referring here to earthly wisdom. And all true wisdom is from God. And there's nothing with earthly wisdom, provided it is applied to those things that it pertains to. Medicine and good logic and skills. The Bible uses wisdom in many different ways. They're all profitable. But when it comes to the soul of a person, when it comes to death and God and eternity. All this, as the wise preacher in Ecclesiastes says, is absolute futility. We will all grow old at our best if we do not die in our youth. I'm not trying to be morbid, but this, we've just had so many young people die in the last 2 years that we know of. But if we live by the grace of God, we'll grow old. Riches, wisdom, our skill will not save us. The Bible speaks in many ways of wisdom. Creaturely knowledge that God has given us. Skill. Some people are born skillful. I was listening to a six-year-old girl somewhere in Europe sing. And if you close your eyes, you would think she was 45. So mature. Skills that God gives. It can be intelligence. But none of these things will avail us. There is a wisdom, of course, that is contrary to human wisdom. The Bible says that no matter how intelligent a man is, and there are some like this, says the man who says there is no God is a fool. Not a fool in his particular sphere of operation. Some, many of them are, because the common man does that too. But fool when it comes to his soul. He's writing his soul away. The Apostle Paul tells us in Romans, doesn't he? That though they knew God, they did not glorify him as God. Nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts. And professing to be wise, they became fools, and their foolish minds and hearts were darkened. We can be the most intelligent person or the most skillful man or woman, but if we ignore God and our soul, what did the Lord Jesus Christ say? What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his own soul? And then there is a foolishness which does not fear God. Remember what the Bible says. The fear of Jehovah is the beginning of wisdom. Speaking of spiritual wisdom, eternal, that things that pertain to eternal truths and realities. We must have a fear of God. Many people fear man, but they were bold toward God. And we know what it is to experience that. Often we don't want to say we are Christians. Because even though the Lord Jesus said that he was ashamed of me and my words, I will be ashamed of them. So we don't fear that as much as we fear the face of man. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And of course there is the words of the Lord Jesus Christ as he concludes the Sermon on the Mount, as he contrasts the foolish and the wise. It's those who build upon his words, that is the word of God, and him, that is his saving work, alone are the wise. And then lastly, James 3:17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure and then peaceable. And we must not invert that order. We think wisdom from above is first peaceable, peace at all costs. No, no. First pure. It must be right doctrinally. Then peace, not peace at all costs. And then, of course, meek and willing to yield. Not yield the truth or give way to the pure doctrine of the scriptures. And then thirdly, the man of honor. Verse 12, nevertheless, man, though in honor, in other words, valued, accomplished, There are some men and women like this, aren't there? Of great accomplishment. And they stand as monuments, not only in a generation, but across the generations. Although now they're trying to pull every such person down. But even those who are so accomplished, they do not remain. Verse 12, he's like the beasts that perish. Without God, that's the end of all men. And then there are those who trust in themselves. Verses 13 and 14. In their wisdom, in their assessment, in their conclusion. All such thinking is absolutely futile, folly. Great will be the fall of that man or woman. And that's why the wise man says, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Fear God and keep His commandments. Lastly, while there is no hope for man regarding his eternal soul, regarding the iniquity that he not only experiences from without, but the iniquity that is within. There is hope, of course, in the God of the Bible. We'll close with this. Look at verse 15. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me, Selah. For the first and only time in the whole of the psalm, is God brought into the picture. For the first, let me repeat it, and only time in the whole psalm is God brought into the picture. And this is very typical of the Bible. Now, some people just want to hear the good news, but the Bible goes to great lengths in analyzing the human condition, the dangers that we are surrounded by. And so, we have these two words, but God, that is contrasting with everything that compares to human wisdom, human achievement, human honor, human wealth or success. None of it can save us. Redeem means deliver. Ransom means purchase price, as we know. It says, but God. See, that's why we must read the whole of the scriptures, not just little verses out of their context, because the Bible reads our condition and it reads the condition of society and the world around us. All peoples and also we who are within the fold of God. It's a contrast that we find in many places in the Bible. Let me just mention some of these because they have great application to our day-to-day Christian living. In Genesis 20 and verse 3, we read this. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night. You know the story. Abraham connives, strategizes, so that Sarah will not be a cause of his own life being taken because of her beauty. And so he tells a half-truth that Sarah was a cousin, she's my sister, and then you know her life is in danger. She is taken into the harem of Abimelech. And now all his strategizing, all his machinations have come to nothing and they're facing danger. And at that time, we read, but God came to Abimelech. He came to the one who would be the cause of danger. And so this is the experience of all of God's people, and it's also true in the world at large. and wars and many injustices. God intervenes, but God, and He is the only hope of mankind. When we worked ourselves into a corner by our own thinking and not by the scriptures. And then in Genesis 21, we read this. But God said to Abraham, do not let it be displeasing in your sight because of the lad. This because he listened to his wife without or setting aside what God had already promised him. That it would be through Sarah, the son of promise would be born. But in that culture, in that day, remember, they don't have any of the scriptures. So we should not be judging them by the scriptures as we would ourselves who have the whole of the scriptures. It's quite acceptable that a handmaiden would bear a child for a mistress. But God intervenes. And God comes to Abraham when he's at the end of his tether and the whole thing is a mess. How often God has done that for us? When we've made a mess of ourselves. It's also true in international turmoil. When you're flying somewhere. Listen to Isaiah 17 and verse 13. I already intimated this. The nations will rush like the rushing of many waters. But God will rebuke them and they will flee away. And be chased like the chaff before the wind. As if we think of world affairs and what's happening with all the unrest and the wars, and even from within the nation, the lack of unity and so on, and the destructions of foundations. Remember this, no matter what the nations decide, God will rebuke at his appointed time. So here is biblical wisdom from above. The problem of man, as in verse 7 of Psalm 49, is none of them can by any means redeem a brother. Deliver a brother. We cannot redeem ourselves because we ourselves are soiled. Iniquity is the word. Iniquity there is perversity. We are perverse from within. In other words, we prefer disobedience to obedience. Prefer man to God. We prefer self before God or any other being. But God can both redeem and pay the ransom. And he did by his son. Galatians 3:13 tells us Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. Matthew 20 and 28, the Lord Jesus says, the Son of Man did not come into the world to be served. He should be served. But that was not primarily what he came into the world the first time for. But he came to serve and do what? Give his life? A ransom, a purchase price for many. Not all, for many. The many are those who receive it. So let us say to our soul, as the psalmist says in verse 5, why should I fear evil and iniquity? The evil of death, my own iniquity, and the day of my standing before God. Because there is redemption, an infinite ransom purchase power in the blood of the Lamb. And let us bless his holy name. The hymn that we are going to sing, hymn number 108. Let me just read a few lines of the hymn. Bless, O my soul, the Lord thy God, and not forgetful be of all his gracious benefits he has bestowed upon thee. all thine iniquities, who doth most graciously forgive. Not by mercy, because mercy alone cannot forgive and meet the requirement of justice. But he forgives us by the payment of a ransom, meeting the justice of God. God cannot act in mercy and lay aside his justice. That would make him unjust, which is an impossibility. And then, who doth redeem thy life? Verse 4. That thou to death mayest not go down. In other words, that you may not perish eternally. Who thee with loving kindness doth, and tender mercies crown. Amen. Well, let's stand and sing to God's glory. Hymn number 108. Father in heaven, there is no good in us that is acceptable to you, for we have iniquity, perversity, we have sin, we fall short of the mark. Even as believers, we are stained with sin. But we thank you that there is a Redeemer. And we thank you that the God, the high and holy God of heaven, has paid a ransom for our sins in the blood of his Son. Now, Lord, help us trust in him alone. And may we not fear evil and death and judgment when it comes. For there is a place of refuge in Jehovah salvation, Jehoshua, Jesus Christ our Lord. And for this we bless you. Now may the grace, mercy, and peace, both saving mercy and keeping mercy, and then in the day of glory, glorifying mercy, be true of each one of us who've heard the wisdom that is from above in Jesus Christ. Amen.